All right. Well, thanks for being here. We're going to look into the scripture and depend on the Lord. He says, now I commend you to God and the word of his grace. The word is written down. It's in the Bible. And that's the word we trust God will edify us by. So we're going to look at the next part. We just finished up with the part in Colossians 3 where it talks about being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it explains how. He goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And that's how to be filled with the Spirit. So now, after that, in Colossians 3, starting in verse 18, he's talking about these interpersonal relationships that we have with those that we talk to or around. Let's look at what the scripture actually says. The two verses we'll start with are Colossians 3, 18 and then 19. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. And notice there, Paul puts a comment in there after the wives' instruction and before the husband's instruction. He separates them. Those two sets of instructions are separate and independent of each other, separated by that comment. It is fit in the Lord. Those instructions are no more conditional than your salvation is conditional. It's not. It's secured by the Lord and by his word, having died for our sins and us trusting in that. The Bible does not instruct the wife that if her husband leaves her, if he loves her, that she is to submit to him. And the Bible doesn't instruct the husband that if the wife submits to him, then he's to love her. That's backwards. That's not the way God worked it. God has shown us sinners his grace before we ever loved him. Merely saying that about the conditional aspect of it is just, it shows the futility of applying Paul's teaching here in a conditional manner. It's not the wife's instruction to submit to her husband conditional upon whether or not her husband follows his instructions. And it's not the husband's instruction to love his wife conditional upon whether or not his wife follows her instructions from God in the Bible. That's the point in Christian marriage, believer's marriage. It's an outworking of the grace of God shown to us by God himself. God shows us grace, and once we're believers indwelt by God, we pass that grace on to others, including in the marriage relationship. It is the daily practice of extending to others the grace of God that you have been receiving. If you haven't been receiving God's grace, relax. Let God and his grace be sufficient for you. Believe on Christ to life everlasting. And look again at Christ's instructions, the instruction that Paul conveys to believers in Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. As it is fit in the Lord. Notice that Paul did not say, if it is fit in the Lord, making the wife the judge as to whether to submit and when to submit to her husband, and when to withhold submission. No. Paul said it is fit in the Lord for the wife to submit herself unto her own husband. Otherwise, Christ's instruction to submit is destroyed. There's an interesting comment then at the end of 3:19, Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Be not bitter against them. Why would a husband think he has the right to be bitter against his wife? Time to think. The husband's Bible instruction call for him to love his wife. Not just, swoon over her, but to act in a beneficial way, even a self-sacrificial beneficial way toward his wife, whether or not she submits to him as the Bible instructs her to do. But after a while of her breaking her instruction, the husband might begin to harbor a little frustration and anger. Husbands, be not bitter against them. Similarly for the wife, her Bible instructions call for her to submit to her husband whether or not he loves her as the Bible instructs him to do. But after a while of breaking his Bible instructions, the wife might begin to harbor a little frustration and anger herself. Ephesians 4:26 has a word of wisdom about that type of situation. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let that anger continue and build itself up into bitterness. So Paul says, be not bitter against them. If you let bitterness build up, worse things will happen later. Before the sun goes down again, forgive each other. Forgive. God inspired Paul to put a parallel explanation after each instruction. As it is fit in the Lord, be not bitter against them. Each of those statements cover the fact that the instructions are given to failing humans, like me, like you, us. The husband is not to be bitter against his wife in the event that she fails at submitting to him. She will. The wife is not to be unfit in the Lord by withholding submission in the event that her husband fails at conveying God's love to her. He will fail. They're each to be gracious to each other. Remember what we said about grace, passing on God's grace that we have received. And they're each to be gracious to each other instead of legalistic toward each other. We all hate the word, the feeling of legalism. And yet that's what we fall into by following our flesh and instead of following the Spirit's lead to love your wife, submit to your husband. There are other instructions for the husband besides that, but this is the interplay of these two that click, that make it a beautiful thing, really, Christian marriage. The best thing that Christian parents can do for their children is to model the Bible's divine instructions in front of them. That invitingly opens the door for the children to be open to the gospel. Parents can't expect their children to be eager to join in the way that caused disagreement, conflict, arguments, sorrow between their parents all their life. Protect your children from seeing or hearing the infirmities of the flesh that creep into your relationship. Quickly get back into following the Holy Spirit's instructions instead of continuing to follow after the fleshly failings. Then he goes into children. Well, he's still talking about adults, but he includes these things about children. Children learn to love God. They learn to have love for God and love for their parents. They learn to love others that don't love them. Learn to love their neighbors. How do they do that? By seeing their father unselfishly plan out and execute a loving, unselfish life for his wife and their children. And similarly, children learn respect for God. They learn respect for the law, for their parents, their teachers, their neighbors, by seeing their mother faithfully and unselfishly submit to their husband regarding her life and that of her children, their children together. Then Paul continues with more brief summary instructions for children and for parents in that relationship. Verse 20, Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, if your children get angry, it doesn't prove that you provoked them to anger. Okay? Children do get angry. But you need to be discerning and make sure you're not egging them on, provoking them to anger. You need to love them like you love your wife. But notice a couple things about those instructions there in Colossians 3, 20 and 21. Christ had Paul write for children to obey their parents in all things. That's part of the inspired word, that Christ had Paul write it down in all things. Let me just reread it. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well pleasing unto the Lord. So I don't know about you, but it's my nature to try and smooth over things. But he said, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord, not in all things, if this is well-pleasing unto the Lord, putting you as a judge to decide for God what's pleasing to God. No. He says to obey your parents in all things. That is well-pleasing to the Lord, that you obey, that the children obey. Then Paul gives instructions about how to treat others with whom we relate. Paul writes in verses 22 through 25 about how servants should treat their masters. And there's a passage in Timothy. I didn't put this in my notes, but when I was working, I always considered these passages to be about employer-employee or employer and worker. And I considered myself to be on the servant side and apply those things to be a trustworthy worker for the employer, for the master in this case, in the scripture here. So let's go through and read those. That's Colossians 3, 22 and 23. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Paul is not condoning or denouncing servanthood or slavery, either one. He's instructing how to deal with current difficulties as a person saved by grace and extending grace to others. The impact of what Paul teaches here is for servants to be good earthly examples that saved people are obedient to their heavenly Lord. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Wow, that's blatant. From whom are you looking for your praise and your acceptance? Consider it. Think about it. Examine it. From the Lord or from men? Any reward we receive from men will be short-lived and temporary. Now, I want us to think about that verse in a different way, a different way than we've probably considered it ever before. Colossians 3:22, the verse just before this, was talking about servants, obey your masters. And the verse does not end with a period. It continues into verses 23, 24, and 25. When you consider the context in the previous verse and the context in the entire section from 22 to 25, Colossians 3:23 is still talking about servants and their masters. So that verse, a favorite of many, about doing whatsoever you do heartily to the Lord and not to men. However, in its context, that verse turns out to originally be referring to servants obeying their masters. And that also changes the meaning of the final two verses in the chapter, relating those verses directly to verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. He's talking to servants. You serve, yes. So it does match. Knowing that of the Lord you, that's plural, you servants. Since the context is still servants obeying their masters, then who is that ye, knowing that of the Lord ye? Ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Paul is saying, you servants are responsible to your masters to do what they require of you. In case there's any doubt about whether people are talking to God or men, Paul makes it definite. You serve the Lord Christ. So that's what I was talking about earlier. I made it my mental attitude that I was serving the. In other words, I reckoned it to be so that I served the Lord Christ. I consider myself serving Christ when I did what the employer told me to do. Take this load over to the, you know, the dock, and you know, whatever his instructions were. I was doing it for Christ, not just for the boss. Let's remember that Paul is still talking about servants and their masters in verse 24. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. And then in verse 24, for you serve the Lord Christ. And we can see how Paul teaches about servants and their masters in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. It's an important thing. Verse 2, 1 Timothy 6, verse 2, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. That's all part of the scripture there, verse 2. And in 1 Timothy 6, in these verses we've read, we can see that Paul relates the servant's obedience to his earthly master, relates that to the servant's obedience to his heavenly master. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Paul is applying their physical and societal position as servants. He's applying that to their spiritual position, serving Christ. Verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So here Paul is continuing the final verse in that context about servants and masters. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. for servants. It's merely a restatement of, it's a reminder of Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, servants can't expect their masters to be pleased with them for their disobedience and failure to perform the required tasks. You know, certainly as a Christian, as a believer, they should do as they're required to do. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, is in earthly terms here. It's not a matter, it's not talking about salvation or justification or anything like that. It's talking about the way things work. If you earn money, you get the money. If you don't, you don't get any money for it. You don't get paid for it, for sitting around doing nothing. At least, that's not the way it works usually. Paul says in Colossians 3:25, there is no respect of persons. In other words, saved servants should not expect their saved master to give them preference because they're saved. They're hired to do the work. You may hear some people try to rip Colossians 3:25 out of its context because they want to try to prove that saved people are not really saved until they're in heaven. But according to Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6, believers are saved upon belief. Look at Ephesians 2, 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. By God's grace and your faith in that grace, sending Christ to die for your sins on the cross, you are saved. Not are waiting to be saved, but you are saved. God made believers in Paul's gospel of Christ sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. That's our position today as a believer, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And besides all that, if they do try to wrest or wrestle, twist Colossians 3:25 from its context to say something, to say it applies to a saved person's relationship to God, then it would have to fit in with Romans 3:23, talking about the wages of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But on the contrary, we believers only fit in with the second part of Romans 3:23, the part that says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, because our sins are already died for on the cross. Colossians 1:20. If you do have a Savior, praise Him and follow Him. Learn from Him in the Scripture, especially in His instructions to you through His sent out one, His Apostle Paul, His only Apostle of the Gentiles that has our instructions, Paul, in Romans through Philemon. If you don't have a Savior, and if you have any doubt whether you might someday need a Savior, that verse is for you too. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is... You see two systems there? A pay-as-you-go system or a performance system of wages. The payment, you get a payment for having ever sinned in your life. That's death. But Christ died for our sins, and He offers as a gift eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians 3:25 says, but he that doeth wrong, in spiritual terms, who is he that doeth wrong? Who is he that doeth wrong? If you remember back when we read Colossians 3:6, we said that verse would apply later Well, this is later. So, look at Colossians 3:6. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We give all thanks to our gracious God that we believers in Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins, we are no longer children of disobedience. We have disobeyed, but that's not our title anymore. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. How do we obey doctrine? You believe it. That you've obeyed that form of doctrine, obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And then look in Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God. Not children of disobedience. You are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Let's go to 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, this is Paul speaking, he says, in him first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. It's a pattern set up in Paul by Jesus Christ. It's Christ's pattern, how he's saving people now. That in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter, in other words, after Paul, believe on him to life everlasting. Believe that through faith in Christ you have life everlasting, earned for you by him on the cross, dying for your sins. Look at Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with, and it goes on to say with our spirit, but look at the word there. It says with. The Spirit itself beareth witness with. Not to, not beareth witness to our spirit. The Spirit's not talking to us, he's talking with us. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if you're a saved saint of the Creator God, then you are a child of God, not a child of disobedience. Colossians 1:13 bears that out. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In this body, we may make some bad choices. We may be disobedient at times, but that fits right into 1 Corinthians 3:15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. It says right out, if you continue sinning, you shall be saved if you have believed that Christ died for your sins. You get a whole new attitude, a whole new spirit when you do believe. You're going to want to follow Christ. You're going to want to be holy, be set apart for God. You're not going to want to follow after the flesh, even though we still have to drag this body around with us. Romans 4, verses 24 and 25. But for us also, in other words, the Lord imputed righteousness to Abraham because he trusted what the Lord told him. And it was written, not only, it was also written for us, it says, for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if it shall be imputed, righteousness shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Well, that's the condition. Belief. There's no works in there. You put works in there and it dilutes the belief. And it makes it believing in vain. Romans 4:24 again. But for us to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. delivered for our offenses. That sounds an awful lot like died for our sins. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised up again for our justification. Believe God. Believe what he said about Jesus, that he was delivered to death as full payment for your offenses, your sins, and that he was raised again for your justification with God. Believe that God's righteousness is imputed to you. Imputed. It's put to your account upon your belief that Christ died for your sins. That all your sins, past, present, and future, were died for by Christ. And that he was raised again the third day. And let me just close tonight's lesson with reading those two verses again for emphasis. Romans 4:24-25, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Okay, we'll try to pick up there again tomorrow night and get into chapter 4 in Colossians. And it'll lead us into 4 verses 10 and 11, some interesting thoughts there and words. We need to depend on the words that are in Scripture, the inspired words that God put there, and it'll all be clear to us. Any comments or questions before we close tonight?